Hallelujah. Well, do you have room for the word? Is there room for the word? Sure you do. Sure you do. Yeah. Yeah. For those of you that are familiar with banquet tables, buffets, there's always room for more. I know we've gone to countless buffets and you're so stuffed, but then you just say, I can't eat another bite. And then the dessert table pass by before you go, oh, what's that? You know, or there's always room. And spiritually, there's always room for the word of God, always room for what God wants to deposit. So let's turn to, okay, what I'm going to speak about, and we'll just going to follow the Lord on this, okay? And I'm not going to take any shortcuts, but the Word of God. But what I want to talk about today is what you don't resist has permission to stay. Yeah. What you don't resist in your life has permission to stay. And the scripture is James 4:7. So turn there, and I'm reading out of the Amplified. James 4:7 says, so be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. But we have to resist him when we see his onslaught, when we know he's at work. So it says, so be subject to God, mean submit to God, yield to God. Now, the definition of resist means to withstand, to oppose, to defeat, to counteract, to frustrate, and to attack. Notice all these words. These are all action verbs, all action words. Doesn't say be passive, ask God to help you, call on the name of God, maybe God will do something, wish it away, hide under the covers. Stay home from church for a while and things will pass over. No. None of those. It says to withstand, to oppose, to defeat. How do we defeat the enemy? So many ways. Pastor Herman mentioned it this morning. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That's one way we defeat. To counteract, to be on the offensive, not just the defense. To frustrate. When he brings an attack or does something, and you just lift your hands and you praise God and you laugh at the circumstances. That's frustrating to the enemy because he wants you to unravel, to fall apart. He wants you, what are they doing? You know, when you know that your checking account is maybe has $1.58 and you come to church and God says, write a check for this or give to that amount. And then the enemy's telling you, you can't give, you don't have anything left. You can't. And you just laugh and you just be obedient. And then the next day you get a check in the mail or somebody blesses you or somebody hands you a couple $100 bills. God's faithful. And if he asks, whatever he asks of you, he's a rewarder. He knows your situation. He's not trying to make you sweat or dangle your feet over the fire to see how hot the flames are. No. God's not like that at all. But we frustrate the devil and we attack him too. We attack him. We don't just stay neutral, but we counterattack. Why? Well, we've been given the weaponry. We've been given the armor. We've been given the name, the word, and the blood. We've been given power of attorney to use his name. And so we use these things to counter and to resist him. But if you stop resisting, you don't resist, then whatever you're facing, whether it's an illness, a disease, whether it's financial lack, whether it's problems in the home, problems with your children, teenager, spouse, coworker, whatever the problem is, if you don't resist it and take a stand, then it has permission to stay, and it ain't budging. It ain't going nowhere. It's not. And so we need to resist the devil, and he will flee. What are we resisting? We're resisting his accusations, his slander, his lies, his false guilt. We resist sickness, lack, depression, and defeat. But just resisting his accusations will not cause him to flee from us. To withstand something or someone, you're going to have to outlast them. Did you ever hear of a Mexican standoff? You know, to where, you know, you've seen in the movies and in the Westerns, the last man standing wins. Whoever withstands outlasts the other. And we're to outlast the enemy. Set him fleeing. And one thing that sets him fleeing is the blood of Jesus. So if you're in a circumstance, a situation, facing something, just apply the blood of Jesus. Say, I apply the blood of Jesus over myself, person, a situation, over your home. We should be doing this daily. That's staying on the offensive, counteracting, and resisting and keeping him out. Keeping him out. And that's our job, you know. But the problem is sometimes a lot of us, we're waiting on God to do something, aren't we? God, do something. God, you see what I'm going through, do something. And God's saying, you got the power of eternity. Use my son's name. Use it. Use it. He's given us all power and all authority to trample and tread over scorpions and serpents. A scorpion will attack with its tail, and a snake attacks with its head. He's given us all power over these creeping things. All power from the top to the end, to the soles, to the head of something, down to the tail. He's given us all power and authority to trample over them. But if you're not on the counterattack, if you're not resisting, then it has permission to stay and it's not going to leave. And you know, if there may be something in your household, in your life, personally, in a relationship, you know, you just name it, and you know it's not right, it irritates you, it's not of God, and it's been going on for a long time. And sometimes these things, you just, I hate to say it, not grow on you, but you just become accustomed to them. And you think, and then you try to justify it. Well, I can live with it. You know, it's not so bad. I mean, after all, look at the family down the street. They got, you know, their kids are on drugs. And we're not to tolerate, we weren't called to tolerate anything. If something goes against our peace, our prosperity, our whatever the Word of God says we can have, we know that it's not in the Word of God, and we're not resisting it. How about your kids just backtalking you, a rebellious teenager or a rebellious adult? And you know, you can laugh at the devil all you want. You can laugh at him. He's not going to leave. He's not going to budge. We have to resist him and take authority over that which is coming against you, because what you don't resist has permission to stay, even in your body. Well, Pastor, you know, it's only, it only happens when it rains or when it's cold, you know, this pain comes up, or, you know, or whether you've been diagnosed with something. And maybe it's something silent to where there are no symptoms, but you know that you have to deal with them and the doctor wants you on medication. Why tolerate that? Why put up with it? Resist it. Push back. Speak the Word of God. That's how we resist it. That's how you resist sickness, poverty, lack, anything that's not right. The more you just say, it's not that bad. Well, it's just going to pull a chair up in your house and it's just going to sit down and stay. And once the enemy has a foothold, he's not going to rest. Because if you allow strife, the Bible says where strife is and contention, there's every evil work. You know, the enemy is not content sitting in the back seat of your car. After a while, he's going to want to be the driver, and you're going to be out. You're going to be like this, hitchhiking. He's not content to just stay in his corner. He's going to push and want more and take over and oppress, and you can't give him that foothold in any way, shape, or form. So what you don't resist will have the permission to stay. You can have a heart full of faith, and nothing will change with you until you use your words and speak to these situations. You got to talk to them. Your world is framed with your words, isn't it? Yeah, it is. In Mark 11:14, Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Well, that was Jesus. But notice, Jesus first said something. Just by Jesus walking up to the fig tree, nothing happened. The fig tree just looked at him and he looked at the fig tree. Nothing happened. It was until he spoke and said something to where he cursed the fig tree and then it dried up. And then we've seen the results. You may come to church. You may show up. You may go through all of the, you know, serving, but it's until you address these things. Just by showing up, things are not going to change. Just by you saying, God, do something, God will turn it around and put it back on us, on you. Why aren't you doing it? I've given you all the tools. I've done all that I am going to do. Real fast, there is this, for those of you who know Norville Hayes, he was at our church many, many, many years ago. He's in heaven right now. Powerful preacher, man of God, spoke and preached on deliverance. When his daughter was in her teenage years, she had 46 growths all over her arms and her body. Now, for a teenager, you can imagine how painful that was, just for the, you know, on her face and her neck and things. And for years, Norville hadn't quite, he was still in, I think, the Methodist or Baptist church, where he didn't fully understand the power that Jesus healed. But he knew enough, you know, about God. And he would say, he would pray for his daughter all the time. And he would say, God, why don't you heal her? Heal my daughter. Why don't you do something about it, Lord? Till finally one day, he says, he stepped into his room to pray, and God took him in a vision to heaven. And he told Norville, he says to Norville, how long are you going to put up with those growths on your daughter's body? And Norville Hayes comes back with this saying that most of us would say. He says to Jesus, what do you mean? What do you mean? I'm waiting for you to do something, Lord. You're the healer. And God puts it back on Norville and says, how long are you going to put up with this? So he tells, from that point, tells Norville what to do. He says, you go home and you go in your daughter's room and you curse those tumors, those growths on her body at the root, and command them to leave and release my power. He says, and I'll do it. I'll do it as soon as you release those words. He says, and say it in faith, believing that I can do this. So Norville goes home. His daughter had some girlfriends over the house. She was in her room, and he was a little embarrassed. He didn't want to do it, and the Spirit of the Lord says, do it. Go now. He went in the room. He took authority over those growths. He cursed them at the root, and he thought they would immediately disappear, and it was months before they did. Now, why would God give him instructions? And he, you know, and I'm sure it baffled him that they didn't clear up right away. But after a couple months, one day he heard a scream in the house. His daughter came running down the steps crying, Dad, look at my skin. All the growths were all gone, all disappeared. So, you know, my point is, how long are you going to put up with something before you attack it? Before you resist it and take authority. And we take authority over these things by our words, by speaking and releasing. Speaking what? Speaking the word of God. And just use your authority over it. What if I don't see the results? What if the thing, you know, what if I don't see any change? Keep persistence. Keep on. Keep on. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years. Examples throughout the whole Bible about people who just wouldn't give up. Relentless. Faith. Dr. Dufresne coined this phrase. He says, faith will do whatever it takes and stick with it. Not one or two times and then get offended at God and blow up and stop going to church because your prayers didn't get answered. Stick with it. There's some things I've been praying for over 25 years now. I still haven't seen them come to fruition, but I know I will. I know I will. I have faith in my heart. God's promise, I stand on it, and I'll see it come to pass, because as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Salvation, my household family, my brothers and extended family are all under that covering, and God will bring it to pass. He will. It's His promise, so I don't have to sweat it, but He will do it. So you're going to have to hear the word and then practice speaking it. We have power of attorney. In Mark 11:23, you can turn there or you can just listen. Jesus says, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believe that what he thinks, no, what he says will take place, it'll be done for him. I mean, my goodness, what an awesome scripture. Wow. He says to speak to your mountain. It's talk to your mountain. Don't talk about the mountain. Don't grumble and complain and talk about the mountain, how bad things are. But speak to the mountain. And he says, if you don't doubt, if you don't, you know, have change your course of words and go back in a day or two when you see no change or if it gets worse and double and go back on your words, do not doubt, he says, that it will be done for you. Talk to your mountain. Don't climb your mountain. Don't climb it. Speak to it. Talk to it. And you will see it removed. God's promise. Speak the word of God to whatever obstacle you're facing. Write this down. Your mountain is waiting to hear your words. Your mountain, whatever you're facing, maritally, financially, in your home, relational-wise, healing-wise, job-wise, on and on. Your mountain is waiting on you to hear your words. And what you say is going to make all the difference between day and night, because your life is a picture of what you're putting up with. Yeah, tolerating ongoing sickness, hoping God will do something about it, it'll stay the same. Ignoring something and hoping that it'll go away or change, it's not going to change. It's going to stay or even maybe grow worse. Ignoring something, wish it away. It's just the same as God, do something about it. He'll put it right back on us. What are you going to do about it? Use your words. Get familiar with the words that you need to apply to your situation. If anything, you got the name again. You have the word of God, and you have the blood of Jesus to resist and counteract all these things, all the works. And listen, recognize what you've been putting up with. Recognize these things. Do a checklist. Go home and think, say, Holy Spirit, you know yourself. What's tolerable? Certain things that are intolerable to where they just get under our sin and, you know, and it's just like we're Popeye. I can just stands no more, you know, and pull out the can of spinach. But, you know, you just, what have you been putting up with, tolerating, that you know it's not God, but that yet it just sits and has coffee with you every morning, sits at your kitchen table, and just smiles at you and say, I ain't budging, I ain't moving. You know, one of us is going to leave and it ain't going to be me. You make that thing leave and you take authority over it and resist it, because what you don't resist, in other words, you're saying it has a permission to stay. Come on, sit down, make yourself comfortable, put your feet up, you know. Oh, it's not that bad, really, really. It's just, it's so minor, it's so manini, it's so small. You know, that's not God's best for you. And then these things can open a door to something else, because the enemy, you know, doesn't keep things small. He'll open a door once he gets his foot in. Like I said, he's not satisfied with just sitting in the back seat. Before long, he's going to want to drive the vehicle. And we never want to let him get that far. If you permit it, God's not going to change it. God can't do our part just as much as we can do God's part. God's part is power. But again, he says, I've given you all power and authority to trample, to tread upon scorpions, serpents. Just for the fact that you're here today, we have power and authority. Enemy can't take us out. Can't. But we're not doing as much resisting as we ought to be. If something's not of God and it's irritating and it's robbing your peace, deal with it. Resist it. Speak the word of God over it. Say, I command you in the name of Jesus, get out of my house. Leave. Don't come back. Don't come back. Or if it's a person, you know, muster up that spiritual strength and faith and just say, come out of them, come out of her, come out of him in Jesus' name. You know, because it's your welfare, your peace of mind, your family's stability and your welfare that's at stake. Matthew 16:19 says, out of the Amplified, I will give you the keys, which represent dominion and authority of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever God binds, some of you still awake or have you gone home already? Whatever you bind, he says, I given you the keys. Whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. It first takes place here in the earth, then it takes place in heaven. God's saying, if you're happy being miserable in that situation, I'll go along with it. It's not what I want for you. I have peace. I've given you all these resources. But if you choose to live that way, to tolerate and put up with that, God's not going to change it, because he's given us keys too, on top of everything else. He's given us keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. Isaiah 22:22 says this, and the key of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulder. He shall open and no one shall shut. He shall shut and no one shall open. Yeah. We do this. Nowhere in scriptures does it say God does the opening and the shutting. God does the binding and the loosing. We do that. If you were to go up to a hotel or to a restaurant or where else, where they have valet, the hospital, well, you pull your car up to the valet and you give the valet attendant your keys, right? And yeah, well, you own the car. You're the owner of that car, but you've given him the keys. You can't drive the car. It's out of your reach. It's out of your possession, but you still own it. But he can take the keys and do whatever he wants with your car, even though you're the owner. Same way it is spiritually. God's given us keys. God's not in charge of what we allow and what we don't allow, what we permit, what we don't permit. but he's given us keys. Now, God is the owner over us, over our bodies, over our entire beings. He created us. But he says, I've given you the keys. So we take those keys and use them. And they represent power and authority and dominion. And so a lot of times, some of you, it doesn't say be passive with the keys. Be passive with your authority. Again, what you tolerate, what you accept, even though you know that it's bringing other family members heartache, financially, physical-wise, if you tolerate and put up with it, God will go along with that. But God's not happy about it. But if you're not doing it, that all plays into our free will that he's given us when he created man. But we have the keys. We have the keys. Our faith is a door opener to God's power, and it's also a door shutter to the devil, your faith. But your faith isn't enough. You need your faith. Yes, you do. Faith is important. Very, very important. But in this circumstance, when you're speaking, doing Mark 11:23, it says, say, say. A lot of Christians don't know what to say. Speak the word of God. Bind and loose. I bind this pain in my body. I take authority over it. Teach your children that at a young, early age. Teach them the scripture so they know that. Not all this nonsense that they're learning out in school. Teach them the word of God, it says. Sit them down and tell them about what God did and the wonders of God. How great our God is that we sang about. How he parted the Red Sea. They know all about these latest videos and who's doing concerts and the words to the latest and all this garbage out there on the internet. Teach them about the ways and the things of God. Get that on the inside of them and write them on the tablets of their heart. They'll benefit more from all of that. And I should have heard a big amen on that. Amen, amen. Yeah. But we still have to exercise our authority by using our words, as in stated in Mark 11:23, that ye shall have whatever you say. Now listen, that goes either way. That can go good or bad. That can go positive or negative. Sitting at the table, we just never going to get ahead. Look at this. I thought I paid this bill. My goodness, what do they think? We're made of money? I'm not an ATM machine. How are we ever going to get out of this hole? Your words have power. And even though you may say, well, I'm just telling it like it is, the Bible doesn't say tell it like it is. It says calling those things that be not as though they already were. Speaking faith. Every time I see a letter from, a love letter from the IRS, I hold it before I open it. Or, you know, something unexpected and you think, uh-oh, this is a bill, I know it. And I say, we have a supply for this. Whatever amount is, we have to pay on this. We have a supply. My God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. And then you're not fainting. And then you're not, you know, you know, when you open the envelope. And then your, you know, whole day isn't ruined. For my God shall supply. But we need to, so that can go either way, good or bad. So your words, put them, employ your words to work for you, not go against your circumstances, because so many people just telling it like it is. Oh, those kids, just like your father, you know, on drugs, yeah, drunk, you know, yeah, comes home when he feels like it, yeah, and the uncle too, they all part of the whole, you know, yeah, you're going to be just like your dad if you don't quit that. Don't curse your child, don't speak that, don't say those words over them. But you can speak words of life and go in their room and anoint their pillow. I thank you, Father, that you've given me these children. They're blessed of the Lord and that they belong to you. And Lord, I'll train them up in the way that they should go and just bless them and anoint them. Speak blessings that they'll prosper and that the devil will not, cannot forbid him to have his way and entry point into their lives. You may say, well, kind of late for that. They're pretty far gone. No one's ever far gone. As long as there's a heartbeat. And if they've accepted Jesus at one point, they got incorruptible seed. And even if they don't, just pray for their salvation. Pray for them. Especially, whether they're at that age of accountability or not. You be that example and you pray for them. So there's no impossibilities here. But employ your words to work, to work for you, to resist the devil. Griping and complaining and telling it like it is will shut heaven's doors and will close up God's ears. Dr. Dufresne said this, the gripers get the vipers. Yeah. So if you're a griper, guess what? You're going to get the vipers, which are the snakes, because you're inviting them. And in closing, I'm going to quote from Deuteronomy, the second chapter, verse 3. God's speaking to the Israelites, and he's saying, you have circled this mountain long enough. And then he tells them even, turn northward, turn north. Gives them directions to a new direction. What were they doing? Circling, same situation, same thing over and over and over again. For how many years? Long time. Yeah, that 40 long years. God said, you've circled this mountain. Aren't you tired of that scenery? Aren't you tired of putting up with that ache and pain? Aren't you tired of that depression? Of that thing assaulting your mind? Aren't you tired of going round and round again about how we're going to have enough at the end of the month to pay our bills and yet tithe and give, do what God's asking me to do? Aren't you tired enough of hearing, of entertaining and opening the door to strife in your home? Aren't you tired of circling that mountain over and over again? You can stop. God gives you direction. He says, turn. He's told the Israelites, turn northward. Take a different direction. Use your words. Take authority and resist. Resist. Because that which you don't resist has permission to stay. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a lamp and a light unto our path. It not only gives us hope, but Lord, you give us instructions for living. It gives us answers, Father. So we thank you, Holy Ghost, for this. I thank you, Spirit of Truth. We thank you that what we heard today, that we can directly apply it to anything, any mountain, no matter how big or how small, that we would not be comfortable with it, that we can look at it and say, today, you're being evicted. Today, you're out of my house. Today is the day where my mountains are removed and cast into the sea in Jesus' name. And we have the authority, we have the power, and we just need to get up and use it. This church has had and heard enough word where we know, there's no excuse, we know what to do. But we shake off passivity, we shake off sluggishness, and even laziness to do what we know we ought to do. And not to invite these things along with us, to sit down at our supper table, because after all, it's really not that bad. God will question. God will hold you accountable on the day of judgment for these things. Why did you allow this to go on, rob your peace, when you could have been living, having heaven here on earth, days of heaven on earth? So we're not to tolerate anything, put up with anything. And as God told Norval Hayes, how long are you going to put up with it? How long? Well, God puts it all back on us, doesn't he? Because he's done all. And it's not God's part. His part is the power. Our part is in the saying. So we thank you for this, Lord. I give you praise, and I thank you, Lord, but your word also says that as soon as the word goes forth, the enemy would try to come and steal that word out of their hearts. I forbid him to do that. We bind him in Jesus' name. You will not steal this word out of the hearts of the people who've heard this word today, even online, that they'll respond, they'll act on this word, and we'll get the results we're desired because this is your promise. We say it and declare it so in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Well, I know you received because I could just see from your faces you're attentive and receive it in your heart. The word's good medicine. And I thank you that I ain't got no more black spots coming on. Healed. My eyes are healed. God bless you.